on her vans on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, this is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRP. Glad to have you in here. Got a great program, part 12, if you will, of the pyramids in 20 and 12. Now, the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4, we're going to lay a gestalt, a foundation concept of the existence of invisible energy which fills our space. It's referred to as the cosmological constant. Now, if we look in the sequencing of the events that Daniel said, shut up your words, seal up the book, even to the time of the end, for many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am so amazed at the length of time, even at my own age, in the 70s, I can remember back when we didn't have many airplanes in the sky. We didn't have many automobiles on the road. Most of the roads were still unpaved back in the 30s, and we were in a constant growth state, proving that the last 100 years has been the greatest expansion of knowledge, of understanding, and things of this nature. That it's like an explosion. We just wonder, by the time they come out with one new ideal, then before they can get it to the drawing board, there's a greater ideal or a better ideal. So we're in a constant state of learning, running to and fro. Think about space for just a moment as we're considering 20 and 12 and the upcoming upheavals that could possibly be a result. Now, I believe if we take some things into consideration, that both good and bad you know, man has always had flaws in his own thinking. And most of the time we're forced to withdraw because of a constant influx of truth that's proven the consonant of this growth period that we've got in this life day, to where that now modern astronomers and physicists and men of high scientific mind, we're sending a, here we are now, acting like children, it seems. We're creating these Sputniks and these satellites and these rocket ships and things, and we're dreaming about going out in space and traveling in the stars. When, you know, this is how we think. When star systems, you know, the nearest star is 4 million light years away, like traveling at 186,000 feet per minute, we've got problems, ladies and gentlemen, as we grapple with the deep mysteries of our universe. Black holes, quasars, pulsars, dark energy, dark matter, anti-gravity, and these things that have become available to us literally because we're reaching out and fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel when he said in 12 and 4 that we would have people running to and fro and much knowledge increasing. Now, listen to the scripture here of John in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We're going to have to go back to the source, the maker, and ask Yahweh for knowledge, seek knowledge, pray, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, because man today is using, it's nice to see us going up in rocket ships, when there's been a better way to go up all along. You know, we don't function without the body. We have to have something to protect us and go up in a body of flesh, like a rocket ship. But Yahweh's got a way for us to come up to him out of the body. So, very few people are learning how to travel outside their body. And you say, well, of course. You know, you get into those things and it scares people when you tell them that there's a better way. Well, we have never sought that way. Very few people ever find it. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and the few there be that find it. Now, the Catholic Church, they own or they have access to the most powerful telescope in the world, the Catholic Church. It's located in Arizona, and they have it manned day and night, and they're looking. These are men of like passions like Elijah. Now, Elijah went to heaven, and the Bible says that he too rode a spaceship. That was a chariot. Came down out of the heavens. Now, how did the prophet Elijah know that this chariot was coming to get him? Evidently, they can communicate with the people on the ground from up in the air or wherever they're from. And to say that we acknowledge that Elijah went up on a chariot, a fiery chariot, his protege, Elisha, was with him. And he wanted to see his departure. He said, let me go with you. Because Elijah had told the school of prophets that he was teaching, that he was going to go into the heavens. Now think about these men of that day. They had never seen a rocket ship go up. Probably they had never seen one come down, for sure. A especially in a communicated, prearranged place, Elijah knew right where to go. He was told right where to go to. And with Elisha asking him, he said, "Can I go with you, sir?" And he said, "Well, what do you want to go for?" Well, he said, "Well, I'd love to have the mantle that hangs around your neck, this valuable memento that if you could leave it with me, I would be much appreciative of you giving that to me." And Elijah said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to let you go. And if it's so that you can see me depart, you can see this." Now, evidently, these masters that were going to pick him up had the necessary technology to make themselves invisible from Elisha while they made Elijah themselves visible to him. Now, that's technology. Now today, modern astronomers and physicists continue to grapple with the deep mysteries from the deep, such as black holes and quasars and pulsars and dark energy and dark matter and anti-gravity. Now, isn't it amazing? And the first time in 26,000 years, this is what excites me about 20 and 12, not that the world's going to end. I don't believe it's going to. Now, it could be shaken. I was told in no uncertain terms that Tennessee would be a safe zone. And I was talking to a sister today that safe zone is pretty thin when we get down towards Memphis. I'm not saying that Memphis is going to be a safe zone. I wouldn't live in Memphis if they gave me the whole city. And it's not only for the reason that I think it might be underwater here pretty soon, but that the people that live in the city, now there's a lot of good people in Memphis because they write me, and they listen to the messages, and they obey, and they're seeking Yahweh. For them, I say, get out of Memphis and move east. Come east. Now, that's west, but the Navy has got a future map, and I would that you go and look at it, not saying that the Navy knows what's coming, but the government is prepared for a great shaking. And I was told in the Spirit over 40 years ago when I prayed about going to California. Yahweh would not let me go to California. He said, "Stay right where you're at." I was born in Tennessee, and probably I'm going to die in Tennessee. But I was praying about it, and he told me that California was not going to be there in times to come. Now, that was over 40 years ago. But it was just like yesterday. He told me that. And I turned down the most promising job that I'd ever been offered. I've been offered a few jobs. This was one of them, and it was a Jim Dandy, as we say down here in the South. And I wanted it real bad because at that time I was a young man trying to raise a family, and it made my salary that I was making here, and I was making about $15,000 a year. And I would have better than doubled it or tripled it by just moving to California. And Yahweh said, "Don't go." And when I inquired why, you know, he's sort of reluctant to tell you things because, you know, we'll go overboard and we get all excited about we know something special. But I was told that the large portions of California would disappear in the great shaking. That's the words he said. They shall come a day of a great shaking. And I said, "Well, what about Tennessee?" He said, "It will shake, but it will remain." And lo and behold, I saw the map of future future map of America, projected probabilities, if there is a Madryn earthquake around the fault lines, and it borders right on Memphis. Man, I wouldn't want to live in Memphis. It's right on the border. But he said that the place where I live in East Tennessee in the mountains up here, that it would remain. And so then I feel quite comfortable that the fact that, you know, we ain't going to drown, at least we may starve to death. We may be put in a prison. And that's a high probability from what other things that he told me. However, it would remain. And so the things that Yahweh made without him was nothing made. And what he made is holy. What goes under the water is up to him, and what stays on the top is up to him. If there is a shaking, if there is an earthquake system, if the sun fails to shine for 3 days, if the moon fails to give her light at night, there's fearful things coming. Notice this. In Acts 14, saying, sirs, why do you yet do these things? We also are men of like passion with you and preaching to you that you should turn from your vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Ladies and gentlemen, what Yahweh has blessed and made will remain until he tells it to leave. It will obey him. If he puts his hand, and the Bible said he holds the whole world in his hand. He holds you and me, the little bitty baby. You've heard those songs of passion. He made the whole world, and he's got it in his hand. Notice this one. God, Yahweh, in a flesh body, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is master of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, for in him we live. That is, Yahweh in you, the hope of glory. We move and we have our being. So, where do you want to be running to and fro? Why don't you just stand still? Are you worried about 20 and 12? Most people are not. There ain't nobody panicking right now. But let's just suppose that some of the scenarios that could make possible, let's say that there is a wayward planet coming in, Planet X that we've talked about at the point of the crossing. That probability, according to the ancients, and if we don't heed the past and change our ways, we're bound to make the same mistakes they did, for they perished. For we are his offspring. I love that scripture. I want you to mark that scripture down. And after I get off the radio tonight, would you do yourself a favor, write this down and read it to yourself a couple of times. Acts 17, 24 through 28. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the master of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I want you to remember that now, because pretty soon you're going to be convinced that there's a great power, a great miracle worker. He's going to peer out of the heavens. He's going to convince the people of the earth who are already having this certain thing put in their minds to build him a temple. And they're going to build it for him, and he's going to move into it, and he's going to act as God. And when you defy him, he'll work such tremendous, worldwide, earth-shaking, miraculous miracles that even so that he would deceive the very elect. 9 years, and I'm predicting we're going to have many, many more years to see these things manifest. It's going to take a while, because Satan has got to come here, and he's not coming before 2012. And he's going to rule here with a rod of iron sometime after 2012. As the astronomers and the physicists and the great scientists and the great intellectual minds, as they grapple with the deep mysteries, there's one that they've never figured out that I've been preaching about openly, and they still will not get the message. They'll still run to and fro. They'll still seek rest and find none. That at the point of crossing, astrologically, we're going to have a seal broken in the heavens. And the snake, the serpent, that old snake, the devil, with all of his bound angels that are with him, that's going to cosmologically release the light down into that dark hole, and this dark energy or dark matter or anti-gravity will reverse, because when he was taken there and bound to a point of crossing, he has a planet named in his honor, Nibiru. Now from there, he's going to come into our solar system as the God of heaven and earth. And the whole world will wonder after him according to the Bible. And he will work miracles and signs insomuch that he's going to gather all of the earth and all of those whose names are not in the Lamb's book. And he's going to wage war through peace. Now, I'm going to show you, it's a two-edged sword. For most people, he will bring in peace. He will promise you, and he will deliver you a better life. Now, it may be a lesser life than what we've got in the population, because many people are set to die between now and then. All that has been planned. Right now, he then gives the orders to thin out the population in the world. And when he does this, he would have less people to contend with. But not only that, he's got a specific people in mind. Now, Satan knows those who are his. He knows that. He knows who's with him. And he also knows them that are against him. Because we read in the Bible that he went out to make war with them that loved Yahweh and kept his commandments. So he's going to have a test. If you won't accept him as God, then he knows that you know the true God. And if he knows that you know that he knows, then you're going to be afraid of him, and he's going to be afraid of you. And so fear will take precedent over the other fear. In other words, Satan, in his fear to rid you, because you're his enemy, you're going to do exploits according to the book of Daniel. You're going to tell on him. You're going to point at him, and although he's doing miracles and signs and wonders, and the people will even hate you and kill you when you point him out, when you really reveal who he is, because at that time Yahweh's going to give us his children. Remember, it says in 17 here, where I read in Acts 17:24, that we are his offspring. Now, I want you to grab that. That's six words I want you to really grasp. For we are his offspring also. Six words. I want you to remember that. if you belong to Yahweh in a blood covenant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about genetically, and your name would have had to have been written on the Lamb's book as you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Remember that Satan stood right behind Yahweh as second in command, and he often watched Yahweh get the book of remembrance and open it up and go through, and he seen certain names, no doubt about it. He saw your name if you're on it. You say, "Oh, Pastor Buddy, you just got too much imagination." Well, I do know that in heaven there is a book of life, and on it are the names of everyone that is the offspring of Yahweh, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and the family both in heaven and earth. One day we'll be gathered today together forever, and we shall live and reign not somewhere on a distant planet, but right here on the earth that he created for us to live on and to conquer and to subdue. And when he gave us the challenge, we said, "We will." Now you say, "Well, you're a pretty looking thing, Pastor Buddy. You're just taking up space here and you're worthless, and when we come to Obama's health care, they'll probably deal you out." I don't need Obama's health care. I need the one to care for me as the author and the finisher of my faith, that I could turn to him in the day of trouble, and he promised me that for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Romans 11:36. For of him, I'm of him and I'm through him and I'm to him. I love that. Of him, through him, and to him, that all things that he made together as the offspring, that we live and move and have our being in him. Now, that makes me really happy. I'm beginning to feel something from the other world, something I'm tied to. It's like a navel cord. I'm part of him. I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. And I want to make all men see what the fellowship of this great mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in him who created all things. And there's no mystery to the things like black holes, deep mysteries, quasars, pulsars, dark energy, dark matter, anti-gravity. I don't worry about those things. I can travel through that with or without a body. Whether in a body, Paul said, I don't know. Whether out of the body, I don't know. But I do know that I went somewhere, or I've been somewhere. The Bible says repeatedly, no man has ascended into heaven except he first which came down out of heaven. I am one of those offspring that has had a habitat in heaven. I was with him before the foundation of the world. I'll be with him in the end, and when he calls the roll, I'll be there. And it's a promise. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Yahweh is the sweetest name I know. He's coming for a family who is hated and despised, and all of those who are appointed as the heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews 1:1-3. I love that. I used to sit and read that and read it and cry a while and read it again. Who in times past spake in unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in the last days spoken unto us by a revealed covenant Son, who was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He was in the world. He made it. He made all things. And he came for his family. And he gave us a promise. Like MacArthur, when it was dark, when it was foreboding, when it looked like we'd lost, when it looked like the days of Noah, when it looked like the days of Lot, it's going to look like that again, and people are going to be running to and fro and seeking rest and finding none, and I'm going to shout for glory along with all of the expressed sons and daughters of his glory, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, and promised, I shall return. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't come here for us to be a failure. He didn't come for us to be a doormat for the devil. He come to give us the power and the knowledge to resist him and let Satan do the fleeing. We don't have to run from the devil. We don't have to worry about 20 and 12. Bring it on. Let the celestial event, let the light for the first time in 26,000 years, let it shine down into the black hole of sin and the house of Satan. May he be revealed. May he scurry out from under the rocks like black bugs who hate to see the light of day when you turn the rock over. Ladies and gentlemen, when he brought many sons into glory to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. For every house is built by some man. Just take heed on how you build on it. For he that built all things is Yahweh. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things are seen were not things which do appear. Now catch that one. I want you to mark that one also tonight. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen, the universe, the black holes, and all these things, the vastness, the miles and endless millions and trillions of miles, if light traveled at the speed of light, it still takes 4 light years for light from the nearest star to get to here. And think about that, that it's not even things that are made of things which do appear. This is just an illusion that we live in. We're here, and so those who are willingly ignorant, here we got the physicists, we got the scientists, we got the astronomers, we got the astrologers, trying to figure out for the first time in 26,000 years, astrologically, we're going to have the point of crossing right in the middle of the Milky Way. That great white band of light, for there is one of the largest black holes known in the universe. And right at the point of crossing in the center of the Milky Way, where Satan lives, where the light from the glory of the appearance of get it ready and let's get it on. This is the last days. And Peter said, this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing in and out of the water. These, Yahweh, they're worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. In short, the verses that I give you reveal that all things were created by and continue to exist by. The world is not going to end. We're just going to have a bump in the road. You know what it's going to do? It's going to bump off everything. Yahweh told me years ago, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But everything that can't be shaken will remain. I don't care what's got gravity, anti-gravity, dark energy. I don't care if it's the invisible glue of the universe. I don't care if we have to acknowledge that all things come out of Him and will go back to Him, and by His word we're delivered, and these things which appear are not as they seem, because we see through faith and they see through the natural. Oh my, we got a hope. We got a plan. We got the power. You say, but they're going to kill all of us, Pastor Buddy. Well, what's so bad about that? Did not Christ say, I'll rise again? Is it not that we've got a hope that there ain't no gravity device, no dark energy, no invisible glue that will hold us in these bodies, that when they kill this body, since we feared that man that can put this body, both body and soul, in a place where they can get out of. That's who they fear. We only fear by nature the death. But we can probably say at the last breath, at the last trump, death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? I'm knowing that we are arriving in the last days with the knowledge of the truth. Many people are calling me. I got a call today out with a brother out of Kansas. And man, he's got a leg up on his understanding. And praise Yahweh, these people beginning to come out of the doldrums, out of the sleep, not caring or not fearing for their life, demonstrating humility, and recognizing that things in the universe which are not so simple may not be made to understand. We may not know all of those great things that the scientists are willingly ignorant of. But we got something in us that when faith, we understand that the worlds were made by Yahweh's own word, so that those things which were not made of things which do appear. You see, what is it? They're the substance behind everything. There's nothing solid. You can build a house of steel, and yet if you was to see through the eyes of Yahweh with His power, it's not solid. You could go right on through it, although it's steel. The things by faith are not made of the things which appear. So we demonstrate day by day the purpose of being here, which is to battle Satan all day long and come into compliance with this message of Isaiah 55:8-9. Listen to me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Where's your thoughts at today? Are you fearful? Is your heart fearing? Are you on some kind of a medication to keep your nerves steady? Are you buying into the drug scene today? Are you dependent on man for your cures? Are you dependent on man for your problem solver? When you ought to bring your thoughts into captivity and get your ways into Yahweh's ways and merge them together, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. And oh, if you look out into the earth, we're just a little ball of dirt floating in a unique universe made out of things that are not as they appear. For in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than yours. And I know that I will do great things past finding out. Yea, my wonders are without number. Job 9 and 10 and Isaiah 55 and 8. Ladies and gentlemen, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. Romans 11, 33. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we're not concerning ourselves with what's going to happen in 20 and 12? It's a bump in the road. So let it come. So the sun won't shine. You say, but don't you fear, Pastor Buddy? Fear has torment. And I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the ruler. I'm made free. I'm born free. I am an offspring. I am a king's child. And I expect great miracles. I expect great troubles. I expect them. I'm not disappointed when they don't come. Praise Yahweh. I'm ready for they come or whether they don't. Be ye also ready for ye know not. And I saw a great white throne. I don't know what you get out of that word, but I mean it has powerful impact in my thoughts. I saw a great white throne. That's a blushing throne. Somebody sitting on it, able to blush. And him, not them, not we or us, but him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. No wonder when he comes that earth is going to flee. I saw the vision of the very day that he came to this earth. I was alive. Now, I don't know whether I was on that side looking at it or on this side, but I do know that I was alive. And I saw him coming, and I can understand why that the heavens and the earth fled. The people panicked. They fled. I fled with them. I was so overcome and so overwhelmed. It was such a fearful thing to fall into his hands. I just could not comprehend with the glory and the majesty that was upon his face. I saw his hair. It was white like wool. And it was long. I don't know why. It was. He didn't have a Greek-Roman haircut, that's for sure. It went up above his ears. Praise Yahweh. And there was no place that I could run to. As it said in the scripture, there was no place for them to run. And then I heard a voice like it was spoke to Moses at the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation of the King. Whew. Glory, hallelujah. How my heart trembled within me to finally have to face him. I felt naked, stripped. Then a voice said, my son, I am the offspring. Oh, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of the unsearchable ways of his judgments past finding out. For I begin to have his thoughts. I begin to have his ways. I begin to see that the heavens was higher than the earth. But when I was raised up, I was taken before his presence. And I heard him say, well done, my child. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. I will show you the mercies of Jacob. And laid up for you is the things that I want to share with you, that I've longed to share with you. Come and reap your reward. What a day I'll give you. 10 cities by your faith. Now, modern science can't understand that. Modern science don't have anything in their heart pertaining to that. They've learned their information from the things that they can see. I got mine from the things I can't. And I know that you who walk with him, who are ready to walk with him in white. Whew, there it is again, that precious word. No wonder that the earth and the heaven fled away. Now the word flee is a verb. It suggests that they move away with haste. And that's what the astronomers are now suggesting when they say that the galaxies are flowing out, expanding, and moving away at an accelerated pace. So, remember, why would entire galaxies move away from us at an accelerated pace? While we cannot accept man's wisdom and his theoretical explanations of these things they're trying to explain, like anti-gravity, dark energy, dark holes, quantum physics, the law of relativity, all of these things seem so astounding and unexplainable to the carnal man. But something inside suggests that we've been with him from the foundation of the world. And the depth of the riches of his wisdom and knowledge is past finding out. So we quit worrying about trying to find out something and start knowing something. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, let me give you this one in 19 and verse 1, a psalm that David wrote in a bit of praise. The heavens, which the Bible says are endless, which the Bible says there's worlds, which the heaven says that the stars are innumerable, and Yahweh calls every one of them by name. There's not one that escapes. And you folks that believe that there's fallen stars, every one of them moves at the command, and they hang on nothing. That's what gets me. The earth, a little ball of dirt, going through this vast universe where the heavens declares his name, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now, I marvel when I look at the beauty and look up into the heavens. I used to remind myself as a young boy, why am I here? Where did I come from? How am I going to get home? And then I heard a voice say, my son, let not your heart be troubled. Consider, I make all things new. The things that appear are going to disappear. The heaven's going to roll back like a scroll. Then you're going to see by the faith that you were created by a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I can't comprehend that. No more sea? No. A new heaven, we don't need the sea. We don't need the fish therein to feed us. We're polluting it. It's nothing but a stagnant pool of cesspool water. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the earth, a new heaven and a new earth. See it by faith. And read it in place. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, 23, and 24. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw those that came up from one new moon. Now, you can throw out the seventh-day Saturday right there. It's not going to be there. You can throw out the first day of the week of Sunday. It ain't going to be there. Because it says, we will have from one new moon to the next. And from one Sabbath to the next. Read it. I'm talking about this new kingdom, the millennial. I make all things new. Revelations 21 and 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, I make all things new. And he said, these words are true and faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, I have no doubt. I don't know when it's going to happen. It may happen on the winter solstice of 2012. The earth may shake, and it may rock, and it may roll, because it's going to. I don't know where it's 2012. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 million years from now. But that's not the issue. When? The issue is, have you made that decision to move up to the point that you can see and stand before him and hear him say, well done. You are my son. You are my offspring. I have never forsaken you. I'll never leave you. That depends on your willingness to abandon your personal beliefs, your way, or their way. Come out of the world. Come out of Babylon. Overcome those things that they've got you overcome with. Could be the judgment day tomorrow. Are you ready? Are you willing? And are you able now to say, even so come, Yahweh. Dispense your fear. Get the real love. I'm waiting. I just wish that he would come tomorrow. Because I know that I would hop over a lot of the trouble and trials that are yet to come. But there's one thing about it. I am filled with a totalness of love that made death vanish, that took the sting out of death, that gave me a love that is capable of stirring up my heart in these hard times. When people fear, I look back on the years that I've been on my knees, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I studied, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I studied, and I would grow in layers. I'd find out one truth, only to find a deeper meaning behind that truth. And it's like a never-ending, expanding universe, and that's what it's all about. And the day that most people have lost the rudder to stir their boat, I have found the King, the truth, and I've adapted. I've changed my ways to his ways. And I've loved him because man hath not seen, his eye hath not seen, his ears have not heard what Yahweh's got coming. I'm not worried about the end of the world. I'm not worried about going to a concentration camp. I'm not worried about all of the New World Order as they dispense their fear and make people fear. They sit and listen to their radios and their television and they believe this junk as people run to and fro seeking rest and finding none. I sleep pretty good for an old man. I can't hardly slow my active mind down because I'm thinking about something for tomorrow. How I'm going to praise him, how I'm going to please him, how I'm going to meet somebody, and how I'm going to affect their life. I was listening to a man talk the other day, and he's talking about dying. He died twice on the operating table with an open heart surgery. He died. And he went down a long, dark tunnel. And then all of a sudden, he said he broke into a field of flowers. And he could smell the flowers. And it was like something he had never experienced before. They said, "My, my, what has happened to me?" Then all of a sudden, there was a bright, intense light, and it just sucked him up into the light. And the next thing he knew, he was standing what he described as heaven. He saw so many wonderful things. He was beside himself when he returned. He was so disappointed when he heard a voice say, "Not now. You must go back and assist your fellow man." He came back, and his heart started again on the operating table. He was dead for a minute and a half. They revived him. He come back. Then they realized that they're going to have to open his heart up again and go in and do another bypass. They were doing bypasses. Went in, and he died again. Went right back and about the same amount of time, and he got the rest of the story. Folks, we need to hear the rest of the story. There is laid up for you, if you are worthy to go to a place where the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into your heart, what's behind the veil of the things that we walk by faith to achieve. Denying the things here and the deceitfulness of the devil and the carnal mind as we walk upright before him and fear him and say, "Yahweh, I might not be the best, but I want to be. Yahweh, I might not do as much as my fellow brother, but I want to do something, enlighten somebody in a way that they know that you've got something below the breastbone they haven't got. Follow that love pattern. Love conquers. It seems weak. Yeah, we like to stomp the devil's head and everything that's around us. Sometimes we lose sight of the great gain if we hold our peace and let Yahweh fight our battle." Tonight, part 12 of our series on 20 and 12, we hope and trust that you take faith and that you understand the astronomical cycles and the correlations of the creative cycle that Yahweh has hid and placed it in our heart by blind faith, that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we certainly do know who holds tomorrow. Write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568. He's coming soon. Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now let me give it to you again and you write it down. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. You can call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. Now you can always call me on my cell phone. That'll be 423-259-0606. We're here for you. You'd like to talk about those great cycles that we're having, fixing to come upon a great cycle. First time in 26,000 years, the astronomical cycle of the point of crossing. I just pray that you hang on, because there's going to be a shaking sooner or later. Now, you can go to our website. That's oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh, oneyahweh.com. And tonight I'm sponsored by Brother Paul, up in the great state of Michigan. 1-800-253-2748. Sent me a magazine today that had an important article that I was already aware that it was in the magazine. I just didn't have the magazine. But I got a call today from my brother, and he was putting it in the mail for me. And lo and behold, the magazine arrived today that Brother Paul had been inspired to send me. He didn't even know the article that we were concerned about reading. He didn't even know that I was looking for this particular magazine that's published down south. And he sent it to me from the state of Michigan. So Yahweh works in mysterious ways, and all things that are hid will be revealed. And ain't it wonderful? The devil can't hide. He's coming out from under the rock of his fear. It's the devil that fears to be seen. But he's got to put on his best face, because it's about the time for him to be thrown out upon the earth. And he's going to sit there and show himself to be God. He's going to put on the greatest performance of his life, because he's in danger of going somewhere where he'll never see the light of day. Praise Yahweh. And Brother Mark down in the great state of Mississippi, Brother Bud in the great state of Mississippi, and Brother Edward, we love you guys with all of our heart. And all of you who send me tithes and offerings to stay on the radio, it's wonderful, and I thank you that you're helping me and hold up in my hands. And you've never let me down, although I've let you down many times. You've always helped my hand up, and I really appreciate you. I'll see you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock on The Late Show. Pastor Buddy, and Yahweh bless.